Now let us begin the 15th chapter of Proverbs. The first verse of this 15th chapter says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." NIV states it this way, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." We know that the Bible tells us that we are commanded to live in peace. Romans 12:18 says, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." This proverb in the 15th chapter and first verse tells us about one of the major things we can do to live in peace. One of the most effective things we can do to keep the peace is to use soft words. If anger is rising and violence is imminent, a soft answer is your best tool to turn it away. When fellow humans are provoked, speak gently to them and give them good words. Back off, give them time to settle down from their anger. This is your best chance to pacify them. We have an example of this in Judges 8:1-3. The Ephraimites there were offended by Gideon, not asking them to participate in the battle, and they were angry with them, but they were pacified by Gideon's mild answer. That passage says, "And the men of Ephraim said unto him, Why hast thou served us thus, and that thou called us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. And he said unto them, What have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb, and Zeb, and what was I able to do in comparison of you?" Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. So we see that Gideon's mild answer, Gideon's soft answer, turned their anger away from him. So reasonable ideas are more likely to be accepted if they are presented in a meek manner rather than a harsh, demanding encounter. But this proverb also gives us the formula for how to destroy peace. Nothing stirs up discord and causes anger like grievous words. The word for grievous is the same word used for pain when a woman is giving birth to a child. So if you use words that cause pain like that, you're going to stir up trouble. Calling people in complimentary names like "thou fool" only provokes them to retaliate with trouble for you. And we have the teaching along this line given by the Savior in the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 22. Jesus says, "But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." Here Jesus was actually teaching the Jewish law, and he was simply saying that if you're angry without a cause, you can be in danger of the Jewish system of judges. If you say to your brother Raca, you'll be in danger of the council, or that is the Jewish Sanhedrin. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire, that is the judgment of God. And he further says in the 25th verse, rather than do that, he says, "Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing." Now the point I want to make here is that Jesus was saying, rather than say these bad things to people and provoke them to get the law on you and in some kind of a legal encounter, agree with them. Especially while you're on the way to the judge, agree with them so that you're not delivered to the officer, so that you're not cast into prison. And he's simply saying the same thing that our proverb is saying, the soft answer turns away wrath. Agree. That's the soft answer. So criticizing people with their weaknesses or faults is hard to do without causing them to be offended. It's just real difficult to say something that's going to run somebody down some way without offending them. Derogatory remarks about race, education, mentality, motive, or ability will tend to bring out the worst in people. It will actually make them mean. Any statement which lessens a person will provoke irritation. Every person has a plane of dignity, and we must not fail to recognize this if we want peace. We may make spiteful and scornful remarks to show our wit or our own anger, but the results will be unprofitable for us. It'll be a blow toward destroying a friendship. Where possible, let us love peace with all men, and the first step toward this is the soft answer. Let us not forget that harsh words stir up anger. So we read our proverb again, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." NIV, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." The proverb in verse 2 of chapter 15 reads like this, "The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness." This proverb gives another beneficial way to use the tongue. If you have knowledge, you can use it for your enjoyment, of course, but you are to use it aright. That is, use it for the edification of others. The main instrument for doing this is the tongue. Nothing is more useful for imparting wisdom to others than the proper use of language, which involves the tongue. It is the tongue which is used in godly, profitable conversation, in giving proper and reasonable instruction, in counseling, and in comforting. The tongue can show humility and love. It is the way the wise useth knowledge aright, according to our proverb. What a waste to have knowledge and to not use it right. But those who are not wise, the fools, do not use the tongue in this manner. Their mouths pour out foolishness, according to our proverb. They're not edifying others. They are not benefiting anyone. This is communication which is offensive and corrupt. It comes from an evil mind, the mind of a fool. This is the source of filthiness, foolish talking, and jesting, which our Bibles condemn. Ephesians 5:4 says, "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." Any improper speech suggestive of immorality or ungodly behavior is the speech of a fool. The word here for jesting is defined as obscene jesting. That is, making remarks that cause other people to laugh, but doing it in an obscene way. That is forbidden by the Bible. That is really what we refer to here as immorality. That's ungodly behavior. That's the speech of a fool. This would condemn any speech which is offensive to the moral mind of a Christian. This is a law which is so easy for us to break. It is so acceptable in our society to use loose speech, which is actually the speech of a fool. But the Bible plainly teaches against it. Let us take this warning from God. Let us apply it to ourselves. Let us not be guilty of the speech of a fool. So the proverb again says, "The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness." The next psalm in verse 3 reads like this, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Here is a basic truth that all humans should be aware of. This truth, if it is acknowledged, will have a profound effect upon our every conscious action. The truth is that the eyes of the Lord are always upon every person. Of course, the eye of the Lord is a figurative term, meaning that God knows all about us and our actions. Nothing can be concealed from God. Everything is actually inspected by God. Nothing is overlooked or only casually observed. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, our proverb says. There is no escaping this constant vigilance of God. Psalms 33:13-14, "The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth." The fact that God is all-knowing, all-seeing, and ever-present can be regarded by humans as a burden or as a blessing. The psalmist words it like this in Psalms 139, verses 1 through 16. Let's read that passage. "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. So we see from this passage that from the womb to beyond the grave and even to heaven or hell, God ever sees us. God is all-knowing, all-seeing, and ever-present. This also shows the universal providence of God. He upholds and governs all. Secret sins, all duties and actions, triumphs and defeats, and all sorrows are under His eye. God beholds persons, actions, and motives. He beholds the good and the evil. He is displeased with evil, and He approves of the good. What He sees will determine how He judges every human. Psalm 1:6, For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Psalms 11:4, The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord is on His heavenly throne. He observes the sons of men. His eyes examine them. The wicked shall not go unpunished, nor the righteous unrewarded, for God has His eyes upon both and will judge their true character. This is a comfort to the saints, but it's a true terror to the wicked. So our proverb says in verse 3 again, The eyes of the Lord in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The next proverb, found in verse 4, reads like this, A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. NIV, The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. The proper use of the tongue, a wholesome tongue, has the power to heal. It heals the wounded conscience by showing how to no longer be guilty. It heals sin-sick souls by convincing them of the truth of the gospel. It heals when peace and love are broken by discord among brethren. It heals by explaining misunderstandings and soothing conflicts. It heals by giving reassurance to the weak and by putting the mind that has strayed from the truth back on the path of right. This wholesome tongue, this healing tongue, is here called a tree of life. Revelation 22:1-2 gives us a picture of the tree of life. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielding of fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So just as we have a tree of life that we read about in heaven, in Revelation, this tongue is as a tree of life here on earth, if it's a wholesome tongue. The person who has proper use of the tongue can turn his presence into a paradise for others. But an evil tongue has the opposite effect. It is not healing. It wounds the spirit. If the spirit is in good health, the evil tongue will cause it to be unhealthy. The evil tongue is here called a tongue that has perverseness therein. This evil tongue can manifest itself in many ways. It can lie. It can reflect anger. It can inflict verbal injury that is unrepairable. It can deceive or entice or pour out filthiness. It can cause discord among brethren. It can inflame another's passion and even attempt to praise God while cursing men. The evil tongue can even injure the speaker by wounding his conscience, putting his soul in danger of hell, and causing him to have more enemies. Hard words may break no bones, but many spirits have been broken by hard words. So we read verse 4 again. It says, A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. NIV says, The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. The next proverb is in verse 5. It says, A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. NIV, A fool spurns his father's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. Those who have the responsibility for teaching their families must never forget the need for them to properly instruct and correct those under them, because the instructors will answer for it on the great judgment day, and the instructed will also answer for how they receive the instruction on the same great day of judgment. The instructors must not only instruct them with the proper knowledge, but they must scold and correct fault with the zeal necessary for results. And both instruction and correction must be done with the authority and affection of a wise parent. And this effort must be continued until the desired effect is seen. If the instruction is despised, then sharp and swift rebuke must be given. The message in this proverb is so important for parents and children. We've run out of time for this segment of our study, but in our next lesson we'll say a little bit more about this proverb. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.